Dynasty Football Network presents Super Flexible Podcast with your two co-hosts, Tudrick and Swags, Steve Halepka.
What's up, everybody? It's your host, Steve Halepka, here tonight on the Super Flexible Podcast with my boys, Tudrick and Swags. What's going on, gentlemen?
What up?
I wanted to do a quick intro because we have an awesome guest here tonight. I'm super excited for him to be here. FSWA Hall of Famer, football diehard's own, Bob Harris. What's going on, Bob?
Oh, man, you're talking about me. I thought you had an awesome guest. I go, who else is I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, man. No, thank you.
For sure. Yes, super excited to have you on. Love to pick your brain a little bit as we get into the show. Of course, a couple of news and notes along the way over the last week in the National Football League. Definitely some questions about your kind of dynasty strategies, how you go into a new season. And then we always ask, of course, Mahomes or Barkley. And then we'll finish up with some super flex trades. So, yeah, we'll love to kick things off. And, Bob, tell everyone where they can find you if they already are not following you in all your various locations.
I'm at Football Diehard on the Twitter device. Otherwise, you can hear me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio. This time of year, I'm on every Saturday night from 7 to 10 Eastern. With my co-host Mike Dempsey. Once the season starts, I'm on every day. There is no escaping me. 7 days a week, whether you want it or not. In most cases, it's not. You also find me on footballdiehards.com. And I'm also the senior editor for the magazines, Pro Forecast, Cheat Sheets Magazine, Football Diehards Magazine, and Draft Book Magazine. So, it's
a couple things.
Yeah, a couple things.
Awesome. Awesome. Swags, real quick, where can the folks find you?
I am at DFF underscore swag.
Tudrick.
I wasn't ready to talk. I didn't think you were going to talk to me again.
No, we'll get you in. Don't worry.
That was the deal.
That was the deal. I'm at FL Tudrick minimum, at Superflex Pod, and at drinking a beer watching this brackets is true.
At drinking a beer.
Beer and what else tonight? I think you got your double fisted tonight, right, Tudrick?
Yeah. Yeah, the missus left me some wine, so I'm going to have some rosé tonight, too. Whatever, I'm fancy.
Getting a little fancy for the NCAA tournament. Yeah,
I mean, first day of the tournament, gotta have fun. With some wine from the wife.
Hey.
That's right. It's gonna be a blast. And I am at The Real Halepka.
Gets one of us in the mood.
There you go. I am at The Real Halepka on Twitter and also at Superflex Trades. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about the happenings going on in the NFL over the last week. So one of the big stories coming out of Kansas City, the report that Tyreek Hill is currently under investigation for alleged battery, potentially involving a child. So obviously not the first domestic issue we've seen with Tyreek Hill. Obviously coming out, lowered his draft stock quite a bit, stemming from a previous issue. So I'll start with Bob on this. I mean, geez, the second issue for Hill, potentially career-threatening totally.
Sure.
What are your thoughts there?
As things go today, and, you know, the NFL has revised their personal conduct policy, and some of that includes language about, you know, if you had a similar conduct prior to joining the NFL for which you have not yet been punished. If it involves a particularly vulnerable person, like a small child, you're punished. So look, this doesn't look good for him. I'm not going to sit here and judge whether something has happened or not. We'll find that out soon enough. If it has, you know, the baseline is 6 games. I would suspect this would be much more than 6 games. I would not be surprised if a ban is in order. We've seen Kansas City deal with these kind of issues quickly. In the case of, Kareem Hunt, it was, he lied to them. I don't know, you know, what they're going to, you know, how they'll play this one out. Look, maybe they want to back this guy. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. I think, you know, for now, if you're drafting in, startup dynasties or you're cranking up some drafts, it's a pretty easy decision to, work around this issue because of the uncertainty. And that's, you know, look, we're sitting here talking about fantasy football. There are real life issues going on here that are horrible. I don't want to downplay those, but we're doing what we do. So I'm just going to say from a fantasy football perspective, I have time to adjust. There's a lot of good players I can pivot to, and I'm happy to do that. And, everyone can make their own decision on that, you know, the moral part of that. But I mean, you know, the real world part of this is it looks to me like he's going to miss significant time if he had anything at all to do with this, which it sounds like he possibly does.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll move to Tudrick now. Are you buying now in this window for Tyreek Hill? Are you selling your shares? What's your thought process going forward here?
I mean, I've seen a couple, you know, crazy reactions right away where It was what, a late first and a second for Tyreek. Mm-hmm. I guess if that deal was proposed to me, I would have to take it, but I don't feel like I'm going to actively, I mean, I'm not going to actively go out there and pursue it, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if that comes across the table, I guess.
Which side of that deal were you going to take? You're going to buy Tyreek for the late first and the second?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I have to do it at that price, but I'm not going to go look for it, I guess. If that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Swag, same feeling there.
So I mean, it could be forever. I mean,
and that's just it. Like, what's really going on here? Like, it's a great time of year for some beat writers. I hate to say it.
Exactly.
I think that, and you guys know how hard I've been on like Adrian Peterson for. Mm-hmm. For me, it's way worse to do something to a child than domestic abuse, and that's not to take away from domestic abuse. I don't think that's right. Okay. But for me, like, a defenseless child is I don't know, man. That sucks, to say the least. I don't want to get really far into like all of my beliefs, but if that happened, like, I've got a lot of personal issues with that just because of why. But it didn't say he did anything. I don't want to be that guy, right. But we really don't know what happened yet. Like, there have been no charges. He's
right.
His name is in the report.
That's his name is actually not in the second
that's,
report.
That's right.
Right. So like, right, there's still a lot to work through here, and I think we could all agree, if he broke the kid's arm, he's probably not going to play again, right? I mean, that's
right.
I think that's a safe bet given his history.
And he's a piece of shit.
And given, right. Yeah, sure, we'll go with that as well. But you know, but I think that's the thing, you know, if you're sitting here and you're taking a purely fantasy stance on this, and it's not, you know, the moral issue doesn't come into play, I mean, uncertainty is my enemy in all cases, and downside is my enemy, and I'm trying to eliminate uncertainty, and I'm trying to eliminate downside, at least early in the draft. And so he's a big bundle of both of those things. So, you know, it's just pretty much, you know, hands off for me right now, but, you know, maybe that creates some value for somebody else, and they're more willing to deal with that, more eager to embrace the risk that goes with it. So more power to him. But it's wait and see on all this, right?
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Wait and see for sure.
Kids, good. I'm not trying to say like, if he did it, obviously like Slack said, like, whatever, I'm out. But kids break their arms. They break their legs. That's what they do. Like, is it just because he's the dad and we're looking for that story right now?
No, it's because he has a reporter? History, and there's two police reports, and he's involved in one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little bit of mystery. Look, we all, you know, uncertainties, you know, in terms of not only, you know, his football future, but us knowing what's going on, a lot of, you know, the tendency is to take that uncertainty and creates a vacuum in our brains where we blow it into the worst possible thing. And you're right.
Right.
It could be a wide range of possible explanations for this. We just don't know that. And until we do, I wouldn't touch him with your 10-foot pole.
Right. So let's move now.
That was the nicest compliment you could have given whoever that was.
You're welcome.
To.
Oh, like, my gosh, yeah.
I feel like it was really to good. Me. You wanted
it,
to.
It was. I think it was the collective 10-foot pole.
Collective. Nice. So maybe a 30-foot pole.
Right.
Like Steve, don't talk about
Steve, come on.
Sorry.
Easy, kids.
So let's move from some off the field stuff to some potentially puzzling on the field signings. First, we'll start with my New York Football Giants signing Golden Tate. I think probably the only team we didn't think of.
One.
Yeah, probably the only team we didn't think of during our free agency preview that would sign Golden Tate.
Because it made no sense.
It made no sense at that point in time.
It still doesn't, to be fair.
Oh, I totally agree. I think he's a completely redundant player to Sterling Shepard. But 4 years, 37.5 million with, I think, 23 or 24 guaranteed. So long-term contract for a receiver about to turn 31. Tudra, you think the number one receiver in New York or a number one receiver in general?
I'm in New York. Come on.
I thought you were joking. Were you joking?
In New York? No, I don't.
He's the one.
Why can't he be the one? Swags, you're saying you couldn't decide between Saquon and Ingram last week, and it wasn't Shepard, right? So where does Tate move into that rotation for you then?
Probably third or fourth.
Really?
I mean, you got Barkley, who's probably still going to get 10 to 13 targets a game. Then Ingram's probably going to get...
That seems high.
That's what he was getting last year. That's where his
three
bread
games,
and butter
dude.
Came from.
Like three games, so, though.
Well, who else was getting that in any games?
It's not Cody Latimer, I'll tell you that much.
If Eli's throwing
Benny
that
Fowler?
Ball, he is going to keep
Benny
throwing
Fowler.
It to Barkley. I think it's stupid. I think that it's going to go to Sterling Shepard and Ingram more than you guys think.
I'll take Tate over Shepard for targets easy against you. Eat it.
Yeah, we'll put that up. We'll put that on our big board of wagers for the year.
Okay, targets.
Yeah,
targets. Yep.
I mean, I'll do catches. I'll do yards. I'll do anything you want to do against Shepard. Take it all. Take none.
Yeah, I'll take anything. Any of it. Right across the board.
Okay.
And we'll see who's got the most. Like, we'll go. Yeah, I like it. We'll figure it out.
Play like baseball stats.
Yeah. Yeah, right, sure. We'll see who's better at baseball.
Right. So, Bob, feelings on the Tate signing for the Giants. Do you think he's going to be the number one, or do you think it's more of an even split now across the board between all their weapons?
I think even split. I mean, you know, any given game seems like it could be any of those guys. Probably, you know, Shepard being the least likely. I mean, it could be Ingram. It's likely to be Barkley on occasions, and it could be Tate on times. But look, if the complaint is Manning is getting old and the arm is going away, I mean, what better thing to do than surround him with a batch of short range receivers who do great things with yards after the catch? I mean, and I don't want to sit here and say Dave Gettleman has a plan, because I think he does not. But he may have stumbled onto something here in this case. Look, it's not high end. It's not great. I'm not interested in both anybody in this offense, not named Barkley or Ingram, but, so, I think I'm dialing back on Tate. He has a great history of production. I mean, there's no line.
Right.
He is the king of yards after the catch. There's no doubt about that either. So, you know, if they can, you know, work him in some bubble screens and some things like that, I'm sure they will.
Bob,
I mean,
he's saying this could be a good year? This could be a good year for Eli, sorry? Because, you just made a good point. Like, all those, like, short yardage weapons that he can just dish it off to.
Well, I felt like going into last year, you know, he was an overlooked guy. Maybe if the Giants were sitting around and putting a guy like Barkley around him, they had a guy like Beckham, they had Ingram, they had Shepard. I mean, you would think, okay, well, this is a year where maybe, in a two-quarterback league, Eli's going to be a valuable commodity. And certainly he was not that. He was, you know, barely serviceable, if that. So, you know, I'm not going to give him too much, but if you're trying to play into the strengths of this guy for 1 year, to get you through. They keep saying they're not rebuilding. Obviously they are. So, you know, I mean, but if they want to try and be competitive, I mean, maybe they take advantage of what he can still do. And maybe what he can still do is read a defense and get rid of the ball quickly. Cause I haven't seen the offensive line changes that give me a great deal of confidence in him dropping back and standing in the pocket with a big smile on his face either. So, none of those things bode well. And look, I'm not going to be jumping on Tate. I'm sure there'll be a time when the price is right. The things I've been doing so far, I'm in one dynasty startup, a super flex league. I'm kind of avoiding those guys. Nice. I mean, that's kind of, if at all possible.
What, round you in?
What are we in? Like about 15, I think.
Okay. Pretty deep.
Yeah, we're just heading into 15. It's 33 rounds. It's,
Nice and deep. Like that.
Yeah, nice and deep. And you have to draft your rookie picks. We'll do the rookie draft, I think, right before the draft. So you have to draft your rookie picks.
Yeah.
Right. So
that's the best way in a startup.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. It's a pretty competitive league. A lot of good players. And I'm struggling because I'm not a dynasty expert. You know, I do a show with a guy named Mike Dempsey on Sirius, who is a hardcore lifelong dynasty player. I play because I want to be able to talk about it and do it, but I don't know that I'm the dynasty mind that some of these other guys are through the trades and things like that I'm working through. And I don't know that everyone in this league is. I mean, Matthew Berry, I don't know how big of a dynasty guy he is. Silva, you know, can play pretty much anything. Scott Barrett, you know, there's Pat Thorman.
This is DFB.
Everybody plays different too.
Nice.
They do.
Yep. Right. And it's interesting to see how people value, you know, the various players and who's going, you know, not as worried about age and things like that. So
how many quarterbacks do you have at this point? Like starting quarterbacks?
I had two early on.
Which ones? Let's hear them.
Traded up with Barry to get Andrew Luck. So I had this.
Yes.
I went ahead and grabbed DeAndre Hopkins fifth overall, right?
Okay.
Gorgeous.
Felt really good about that. So my feeling was, okay, so here comes Watson, going to come swinging around at me in round two.
Oh, I love
I'm relatively snack. Early. I'm at, you know, middle of round two, 205.
Yeah, sniped.
So, or I was a little later than that. So then Watson went two picks before me, and I passed.
Yeah,
so I did a trade with Barry. He wanted to move back a little bit. I moved up, I grabbed Andrew Luck.
Yes.
And felt good about that. Then coming back around, I thought, you know, I wasn't sure what would be going on. I wanted to get a good running back or a solid running back. I went ahead and got Dalvin Cook, I think, with the, you know, the Kubiak concept.
Like it.
You know, I'll take that. I went ahead, got another running back after that, Sony Michel. And then came back around. It was round six. I got Drew Brees. And I know that's a short-term rental, but I can live with that, and I'll kind of gin it up a little later on. But I did want to have two solid starters.
Anybody left?
No, nobody's left. Zero people left. Zero when quarterbacks
that,
left.
Yeah.
When did that next wide receiver come? I love that nuke, but
it went pretty fast. It was Mahomes went 7th overall, by the way. Smith-Schuster.
Well, I mean for you.
Yeah, Smith-Schuster went 8th, I think was 8th. Beckham went 9th. And this was before the trade, so you know, we started drafting a little early. Michael Thomas went, Davante Adams, who had he been sitting there and I come back around in round 2, I probably would have blown off my whole get the quarterback starters early strategy and gone Adams with that second pick, but it wasn't going to happen. Wanted to get George Kittle or one of the top 3 tight ends, did not get that. So, you know, these guys are all sharps, right? I mean, you're not there's no one here you know, that's a pushover. So,
but you know what it is too, though, like sometimes it's you all start wondering, like, what does he know?
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing?
Well, they all know everything.
You know what I mean?
There's nobody that doesn't know everything in this one. So, and that's the thing. It's basically, I mean, everyone has the knowledge. It's how they value guys or how they perceive what's going to play out, how they look at the new coaching changes and how that's going to play out for other personnel changes. And a lot of times, look, I drafted McKinnon at one point right before Kevin Coleman went based on a conversation I had with Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports in San Francisco. He's been around there for a long time. And, it was my 3rd running back. I felt pretty good about it where it was. And then, you know, a day later, they signed Kevin Coleman. I feel much less good about it, right? So that's one of the things that you're dealing with in this draft is there's a little bit of a salmon swimming upstream thing as some of these signings are announced.
Can I stay here on this startup since we're into it? And you said the rookie picks are involved in this startup, which sure. I love. How many do you have at this point?
I have 2.
Which ones are they? And is that something you want to get or you just want to be a part of each round? Like, what is that process for you happen there?
So when I traded early with Barry, I kind of put myself in a little bit of a hole. So I'm happy to dig out. My feeling was I'll get less draft picks. That being the case, I have 2. I have 108 and 112.
Okay.
I might be fine sitting there, right?
Yeah.
Just depending on how I draft. I mean, I think next year, and I did trade for some picks in next year's draft, which I think is going to be a much,
sure.
A much deeper draft. So I'm going to go ahead and probably sit here. I may, pick up another pick later on. You know, every time I get to a place where I think I don't want to pay for anybody, I go, here's a good place for a draft pick. And, and I'm getting to that more and more as we get down into this middle range of, picks. So, you know, if I ended up with just these 2, I'd probably be okay this first year. Next year is going to be much more important for that to me.
Swag, yeah. Steve, what about the same for that? Like rookie picks in the startup? I know it's not on the sheet. I'm just completely derailing it, but I kind of like
it. I wanted them a little bit more. Like in Superflex, I like them. And even where like Bob got his picks, that 108 and the 112, in Superflex, it's kind of nice because like Kyler Murray and Haskins will push some talent back a little bit to him. So he might get some really decent wide receivers or running backs. I don't know if I want to take a shot at a quarterback there.
I'm thinking I'll wait till next year on that. But look, if somebody fell to me that was, that had a little bit of potential, I mean, Will Greer's gaining some ground, maybe Drew Locke.
About time.
Your boy Will Greer.
We'll just see, right? I mean, and I'll probably play it by ear. But right now, my thought is, I'll probably grab at least one running back and kind of dart toss it. I maybe do that with a later pick if I grab one. Running backs are the thing that I'm trying to dial back on as much as I can just because. We all know how running backs work. I mean, last year should have taught everyone a valuable lesson that everything doesn't happen the way you think it's going to happen when players are drafted, right. No matter how much draft capital spent on them.
Sure.
And I know we're going to talk about this, the process of evaluating rookies, but, the main evaluation comes when they get a helmet, and I know what color it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to know
for
who they're
sure.
playing.
Yep.
I want to know what the scheme is. I want to know who's calling the plays. I want to know who else is on the depth chart. So, I want to understand what these guys can do and do well or not do well. But for me, the big key is when they get on teams, and I'm not going to know that when I do the rookie draft here. So that's how it's going to be.
Go get some Derek Carr.
You know what? Look, I think, again, if you were looking at Eli Manning last year, you're thinking, wow, there's a lot of weapons around him. If he could still play, maybe I could grab him. Certainly, you have to think the same thing about Derek Carr this year. And we've seen a little bit of recent, semi-recent productive history. I did grab Tyrell Williams in this draft. I think it was around 14 or 15. I think it was 15 where I grabbed him. So look, I think there's a lot of things going on, a lot of moving pieces to this, and I hate everyone in this league because they are all there's no free passes here. That's
right. It makes it fun though, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just grabbed Tyrell Williams. What are you expecting to get out of him? I mean, obviously, AB is going to bring a lot of coverage there, but
obviously, I mean, visions of Juju Smith-Schuster in my head, right? I mean, look, if we're sitting here and we were just talking about the free agent class without the trades or, you know, without the two high profile guys moving, I mean, the argument would be that Tyrell Williams was the top
best free agent wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best yep. talent in this class. And so the fact that he goes, you know, I guess my only concern is the quarterback play. And if Derek Carr can get up, I mean, if you look at his first few years, they're very comparable to guys named, you know, what, Eli or Peyton Manning. Or, you know, he hasn't been that guy. I don't know if he could be that guy again, but I think it's worth a chance. And I don't know that he's going to be the quarterback this year. Hell, a lot can happen between now and the draft or the day after the draft. So we'll wait and see. But I think, you know, drafting talent at wide receiver, you can't hardly go wrong in Dynasty.
I like that. And do we think that, for everybody here, with AB and Tyrell Williams there, that the Raiders don't address wide receiver in the draft, or at least not early? Because I feel like I'm still hearing that rumbling. And I'm like, why would they spend that with all the other holes? But, I mean, you know, the DK Metcalf is the epitome of an Al Davis draft.
100%,
like, yeah. Let's not do that, though, right? Like, these two signings mean they won't.
I was saying the same thing about the Niners the day before they signed Kevin Godwin. Don't need any of those guys, especially not the guy Shanahan loves. I got my ass Shanahan-ed to me on that one. But I think that's, you know, look, that's always the danger of these things. But I do think, you know, in this case, when you have two established talents that they're paying high-end, you know, resources to acquire or land or pay, or in Brown's case, both things, I think, you know, I'm going to follow the money on this at this point and go with that. And if they bring a rookie in, you know, will it be concerned? Yeah, but not overwhelming.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You did touch on about, you know, your process for evaluating rookies, and it really depends on where they land. I mean, at this point of your process, do you have a favorite out of the main skill position players before you find out where they land, or are you waiting for those landing spots?
Yeah. Well, I mean, ideally, I'll wait for those landing spots. In this case, I'm not going to be able to, right? So I'm going to look at, you know, a lot of this is going to be based on pass production. And let me just say this. I you know, there is an entire industry out there of draft nicking. I am not that. Mm-hmm. I'm a fantasy guy. So I don't pretend to be a draft nick, but I know some really good ones that I listen to carefully. And, you know, and that's what you do. It's just like, you know, during the season, I'm following a story. You know, you're getting the agents telling you something, the coaches telling you something, the players telling you something, the local beat writers telling you something, the national columnist is telling you something. And it's a big ball of spaghetti of lies. And you pull that thread of truth out, right? And you're doing the same thing, or you're at least putting it all in perspective when you hear all the hype about these draft prospects. And, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, so I've heard an awful lot of hype. And I tend not to get overly excited by it, right? I mean, and or I do get excited about it when I think it merits some attention. So, the hype train. Look, we've all ridden on it. So I tend to like dial back on the hype a little bit. But what I want to do is study and understand their capabilities and know what kind of schemes they work well in. So I see when they arrive in the pros, oh, this guy's a good fit for this scheme, or this guy's maybe not a great fit for this scheme. The depth chart is not going to be favorable to him. I mean, you know, we should have known something about Rashad Penny. I mean, we didn't really catch on to that until what? Dan Graziano said, he ain't starting. And we're all going, right. What? You know, was the last week of August last year? Well, going, excuse me? So I guess, you know, you just got to put it all in perspective. So there are some guys. I mean, look, you know, wide receiver, it's easy to like a lot of these guys. And I'll just go with production. I'll go with N'Keal Harry if I get an opportunity. Just based on the college production, right? I mean, I don't think you can go wrong with A.J. Brown or Metcalf or look at any of these guys. Debo Samuel is a guy I think if you wait a little later, he's maybe a guy I like as well. So, you know, some of this is going to depend on where they go and what the opportunities are going to be, and even that's a little bit vague. So I'm going to study, do my homework. I listen to – there's people I listen to more carefully than others. I've been friends with Matt Waldman for nigh on 20 years now, so – you know, I understand his process. So I know, you know, I know what to expect with what he's doing. Josh Norris, of course. I mean, there's a lot of guys I pay a lot of attention to. JJ Zacharyson, I pay attention to in all things. So I listen to all this stuff and I kind of get my bowl of, you know, spaghetti and I start pulling out what I think the truth is. Right. And so that's kind of the process.
Yeah. I would say I totally agree out there with some of the names you listed, some of the best in the industry for sure. And so is that your kind of your process as well for a new season for redraft as well, you know, kind of unballing that ball of wax and finding those threads of truth as you stated before?
Well, I think for, you know, part of it is I'm following certain aspects. Like, you know, I have a job, right? So I have to sit here, and my job is, you know, during the season, you know, following all the developments of all the players ongoing. The season ends, you know, I'm not watching college football, so I'm not doing that level of study. I'm studying the pro game. So I understand what's going on. So I'm following coaching changes, free agent moves. And, you know, that's across the board. It starts with the offensive line. I mean, you know, we've learned, if we have learned nothing in recent years, offensive lines matter and we need to pay attention to it. So I'm paying more attention to those things. And, you know, I do my initial rankings and I set those up and then I just, you know, keep tweaking them like everyone else, trying to dial it in. But it is kind of that. Look, I mean, we, you know, there are no certainties here. We just kind of go with what we know. And I think for me, the thing has always been the head coach. You know, there's, you know, in the NFL, there's one person who decides a lot of things. It's a week to week game, right? We all know that. And so what is the head coach trying to do? He's trying to keep continuity to the degree he can. So if you pay attention to the things he does and the way he keeps that continuity, I think to me, that's a big determining factor in how I, you know, how I value players and how I look at things is I look at the way that head coach has handled things in the past, assuming that he has some past. And I kind of follow along that because that's the area where you know, you know, you have some knowable things. This guy does this. This guy likes to do this. He likes to run this kind of offense. He likes to use his personnel in this way. He likes to use a feature back. He doesn't, you know, those things are what I'm paying the most attention to at this point.
Sure. And I know you talked about the coaching changes. Is there one specific coaching change that you're excited for?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, I don't know how many times can they clone Sean McVay?
Gosh, there's so many now.
I know Sean McVay. I'm surprised I'm not a coach right now.
Right. The ball boys are getting jobs now. It's amazing.
Right. Yeah. But this is, you know, this is, I mean, you know, the cliche is stupid, but the NFL is a copycat league. And we saw last year, you know, the Bears did it successfully, right? Matt Nagy comes in, you see what Sean McVay did, how the, you know, Jared Goff improved. I mean, how much of that was the predecessor was so bad there had to be improvement?
Right.
So McVay took him up a notch. Nagy did the same, but the predecessor was pretty horrible, right? It was a prehistoric. It was Jurassic John Fox. And, you know, so, I mean, you know, but bringing these up-to-date guys in, young, innovative offensive minds, I mean, I think you look at some of the coaches that are coming in now, and that's what they're trying to do. And I think, you know, in those cases, I try to watch what's going on as they march up through free agency into the draft, what kind of personnel decisions the team is making. Look, if we see Arizona, you know, go out and get Kyler Murray, I mean, we'll know that all along, this was the plan all along, right? And that'll inform you of something all by itself, right? So, and it'll also inform you, like, Steve Keim is the most fortunate man alive. How do you have a job? You have two things. You got to hire a coach and find a quarterback. Failed miserably on both. Get suspended for the summer and you still have a job? What? So, you know, but those kind of things are what I'm looking at. What these young coaches coming in. And look, in some of these cases, we do have something to hang our head on. Matt LaFleur, we've seen, you know, the offense, we've seen him run an offense, right? But beyond that, like Zach Taylor, I don't know what the hell he's going to do. I mean, right. I have an idea what he's going to do, but I need more information. So I'll be gathering that information as well as I can. And OTAs and mini camps are a great way. You find out a lot of things there. And also, you know, if you're doing this and you're just getting into the hobby or whatever, pay attention at the scouting combine when every coach and every GM talk. A lot of things you hear there will be the things that are happening in September.
That's really good advice, especially for new players and new people getting into things, to really start early and often just consuming media. Yeah.
It's like the combine seems like the only place where anyone is like actually honest about what their plans might be going forward. I mean, you can go back you know, the one that really stood out to me was when Greg Schiano took over the Buccaneers and comes out of the combine and says, you know, Josh Freeman, I don't know that he's our franchise quarterback. I mean, up until that minute, we all thought, what?
Yeah.
Of course he is. And then he wasn't. And, you know, and same with Eric Kahn comes out. Yeah, he's our, you know, Rosen is our quarterback for now, you know, and then we can all go back and rerun the comments by Cliff Kingsbury when he had no idea he'd be in the position he's in now.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, look, it's such a fluid thing, and they're all, you know, trying to lie, but it does seem like at the combine they plant a lot of flags and it can be useful.
Also, I'll move to one of our more fun questions and fun debates we have on the show here in terms of Superflex startups. I know you're doing a startup right now in Superflex, and I kind of gasped when you said Mahomes went 107 because Two Drink and I both believe Mahomes is the 101 for any Superflex startup league. Mm-hmm. The other side is normally a swag side, which is Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
Who do you fall on in terms of a Superflex startup, the Saquon side or the Patty Mahomes side?
In a Superflex, look, I mean, as this draft started, it would have easily been Mahomes. You know, now when you throw in that uncertainty, I think it's close enough. You know, the Tyreek Hill uncertainty. I mean, you know, he's got to have people to throw to. I know he's really good and he's a super player and all these things, but, you know, the weaponry around him is going to make a difference. And I'm sure they can, you know, figure something out there. So, you know, Sammy Watkins. Sammy will turn back into the, what was that, 9-game streak in Buffalo?
In Buffalo, he was the best
receiver ever to live. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I do think that's a little bit of a concern. So maybe that, I mean, it's pretty close as of today. I think, you know, at the time we started this draft, if I had had the 101, I would have probably taken Barkley.
You took Nuke at 5 over Mahomes at 7.
Yeah,
so you could have had Mahomes there.
I kind of had an overall plan, though. The overall plan was wide receiver, quarterback, tight end, if I could get one of the top three.
Got it. So, Swags, I'm sure you're rolling around so super happy right now that the great Bob Harris just agreed with your side of the argument.
It's one of those questions where I get both sides. I have mine, but I totally get both sides of it. 100%.
I think I can make a pretty strenuous argument on both sides, and I think that's how it should be. You should be able to, you know, have an equal argument for both issues. And I do think, you know, you're drafted. Like, why did I want Luck so bad when Watson went? I want a young quarterback who I don't have to worry about for the next 10 years who's going to be highly productive. So I think there's, you know, there's great value of that in a super flex league, obviously. So it's a conversation.
Funches.
But I want to win this year too. Hey, I love Funches. Best player ever.
This guy, gross. I need more beer.
Look, he's like another tight end, right? I mean, this should work out really well.
Exactly.
Oh, and man. Luck likes to throw to him, so I hear
you. Give him the big body. He'll probably look for 10 touchdowns this year. For Funches? Yeah, I can see 10 touchdowns.
I feel so much better about having a T.Y. Hilton share after Funchess was the wide receiver to end up there. Like, I can't tell you. Like, I was sweating holding some T.Y. Hilton to think that, like, a Tyrell Williams or somebody like that would come there. Even John Brown would have made me worry. But Funchess doesn't bother me at all. Not the slightest.
No, not worried at all, to drink.
He's still a young guy.
I don't care his age. He's
been a wide receiver 22, 24. Like, he's had good seasons.
I'll just say this. I think this is the boldest. He's going to be better with Andrew Luck than he has.
Yeah,
he has
for sure.
Agreed. Yeah.
Which is like, you know, low bar, but.
Somewhat low bar. Low bar.
Like, barely, maybe. Pass.
We'll continue our conversation with Bob in a little bit, but first we want to talk to you about GT Bets.
Bob, don't go anywhere.
I won't.
Bye, Bob.
Are you looking for some action on today's games? Then head over to gtbets.eu for all your sports betting needs. Get up-to-date odds covering all major sports. gtbets.eu is easy to use. Their simple registration process will have you placing your first bet in minutes. And if you register today, you can earn up to $500 of free money. Now that's a great reason to head over to gtbets.eu, an official sponsor of the Dynasty Football Factory. Simply add Superflex in the referred by field to earn a 100% welcome bonus. gtbets.eu, it's game time.
Promo code Superflex, if you didn't hear it before.
Always use that code Superflex.
Derek Carrier or Jimmy Graham?
Did you just make up a name?
No.
No, he's a real thing.
I'm Graham. Being for real. Because no, Jared Cook's gone.
Yeah, whatever.
And Jimmy Graham's gone.
Tyler Eifert's back.
He is back. For 1 year, yes. But
Tyler Eifert's back till... Like two drinks said, I mean, he probably just got hurt when we mentioned his name.
Yep. Eifert. I wish I remember what podcast I heard that on today. Tyler Eifert. I started crying laughing.
That's a good one.
Whoever you are, well done.
But yeah, we'll have to talk about a little bit more of the musical chairs of the NFL. Somewhat interesting sign today with the Saints picking up Jared Cook. Are we finally going to get that new tight end breakout season for New Orleans? We've been waiting through the Will Hills and the Kobe Fleeners. Bob, is Jared Cook finally the answer?
No. Well, yeah. So, look, this is the concern for me with the Raiders in general. I mean, last year, there's a reason Jared Cook had a career year, right? And there's a reason Jalen Richard was so effective is because nobody was to throw deep downfield to. So, I mean, we forgot if Derek Carr can do that. Maybe he can still do that. We'll find out this year because Cook has moved on. So, you know, as I look at Cook, historically speaking, he's been good for what, 4 games a year?
Yep.
Right? So, I mean, you know, last year he put
it all
together.
Really good four, though.
Right. Really good four. Super good. 4 games, right? So this was the first time he put it all together, and I think it was more circumstance than anything. I think we're still going to see an awful lot of Michael Thomas. We're going to see an awful lot of Alvin Kamara. And beyond that, I think you're taking your chances to some degree with these guys. I think Cook, I would feel reasonably good about. You know, look, the tight end is just a, you know, a wasteland, right? So here, you know, I like something called the optimism of the unknown. I don't know how bad he's going to suck. So I'll, you know, I might bet on the upside of good offense, playing with Drew Brees, but it just hasn't been a super productive position for them since Graham left. So, you know, I'm going to temper my enthusiasm a little bit. I'm not going to value him the same way I would have valued him had he stayed in the Raiders, as I would have last year had I known he was going to be that productive, and I didn't. So it's dicey. I mean, that's one of the reasons I try to get one of the top three tight ends. I think beyond that, you're pretty much rolling the dice. And I think Cook will be a dice roll too. But there's reason to be optimistic, right? Breeze, Sean Payton, good offense.
Traquan Smith.
Traquan, yeah. And a cast of,
Latavius Murray.
Latavius Murray is the guy that I got an eye on. That's the guy I got an eye on. I think the new Mark Ingram is.
Surprised Steve didn't. Oh, you're a Steve too, aren't you?
See? I told you.
He didn't say Murray over Ingram. He said the new Ingram.
Well, I will say they're going to shove a Latavius Murray-sized peg in that Mark Ingram-sized hole, and we'll see how it works out. But the opportunity is going to be there.
Square circle,
right?
Bro.
The opportunities will be there, though. So, there's a point where I'll be willing to pay for that. It's just a matter of when.
More touchdowns this year. Jared Cook, Latavius Murray.
Murray.
Steve. Swag.
Yeah, Murray over Jared Cook. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, anybody over just Jared touchdown. Cook. I'll take the field.
Keith Kirkwood.
Ooh.
Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill playing tight end. Just get on the field some more.
Never Taysom Hill. Please. Never Taysom Hill. Totally out on Taysom Hill.
Get out of here.
So even though we saw some tight end shuffling, there was also some pretty major quarterback shuffling the last week. Obviously, your Dolphins, two drink, were kind of front and center of that, shipping off Ryan Tannehill to the Titans. They got back a fourth round pick in 2020 and a seventh rounder in 2019 for Tannehill and a 2019 6. And then after that, they signed our friend Fitzmagic. He's back as a starter in the NFL for the Dolphins, 2 year deal, $11 million. So I'll start with two drink, our resident Dolphins fan on this one. Are you excited for Fitzy? What's your thought process going forward with him? Do you think he'll actually last the 2 years as a starter?
So back to Tannehill, at least we got somebody to take it, even though we're still paying more than they are, I think, but whatever. We got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand the Fitzpatrick move. I really don't. I get people saying, you shouldn't think he'll win more games just because he's down there looking at the supporting cast. He will win more games at whatever we had. I think fantasy-wise, it at least makes a couple pieces interesting. It's probably more best ball related than it is true weekly plays, because I think it'll be a little inconsistent, but he's definitely going to chuck it. Our defense isn't great by any means, so I could see him getting in some shootouts and having to throw the ball a bunch. We've seen that he is able to do that, and there are some speedy options here. It's very interesting to see what the Dolphins will do in the draft, if they bring any kind of pieces in, or if they truly just punt to next year and end up beefing up both lines. You know what I mean? So
yeah. I bet he sells way more jerseys though.
Than who?
Than Tannehill.
I'm gonna say down. Definitely this year. I don't know about in the whole lifetime, but RotoWear, shout out to RotoWear, has an awesome Dolphins t-shirt that has Fitzy with the beard and the chain on the front. So I'm probably
I've seen that.
I like that.
I'm gonna have to get that and rock that, because at least it kind of has something cool to wear. It's been a while since I've done that with Dolphins gear, to be honest.
So I'm with the Bob now. Thoughts about Fitzy and the Dolphins in general? Are they actually taking the right path of tanking versus
kind of the judgment? If you want to tank, you should have gone after the mighty Case Keenum or somebody. I think Fitz might accidentally win him some games, but it's a narrow band. So again, I mean, his history suggests that, you know, he's a perfect match for Jared Cook. He'll give you, you know, a handful of really good games, and then he'll give the other team a handful of really good games in the form of interceptions. So, I mean, I expect him to continue being Fitzpatrick, and that's going to make him, like, in this startup, he went pretty quick after the signing, and probably I would have jumped on him too had he made it to me after that signing. So, I mean, I think he's going to be a serviceable play, and I think the words that I heard used here, best ball, probably the best place for him and all your Dolphins kids.
Correct.
Be careful with that team. They're not going to be very good. And it's you know, thanks, look, Bob. I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, the Devontae Parker thing, I know. The Devontae Parker thing, we'll see how that works out for him. Sometimes a new,
don't do it, Bob.
Look, I'm not going to do it. I'm not, you know, another 10-foot pole guy for me, look.
At least he used his own.
Sometimes I will touch him with mine. Sometimes, you know, change works in guys' favor, and let's just, you know, stipulate Adam Gase is kind of a dick, right? So I mean, maybe kind of, he's not everyone's cup of tea. Wait till Le'Veon Bell gets a load of that. So look, we'll see how it plays out here with new coaching staff. But obviously, I'm dialing back on my expectations for anybody on the Dolphins offense, and I think best ball is the place that I'll be drafting them if I draft them at all.
So Swags, I want to go to you with the other side of that trade, other side of the Dolphins trading Tannehill. Are we completely done with Tannehill as even a prospect of starting in the future in the NFL? Do we think he's just a backup going forward somewhere?
I think go try to buy low on Mariota if you can through that, maybe that scared owner, and ooh, handcuff it with Tannehill. But I don't know what's going to happen to Tannehill in his career. I mean, once you go back up, you never come back at some point to the same thing. I mean, they just got Ryan Fitzpatrick on a 1-year deal to lose. And I don't know, there's a lot of quarterbacks coming out the next couple of years. Yeah, I think Tannehill's done.
Yeah, I think the big issue for him is, can he grow a porn stash that seems to be the requirement there for the quarterbacks? Blaine Gabbert, Mariota.
His wife is fine enough.
I'm putting that right in my notes right next to make Bob a coach.
So last year we saw Blaine Gabbert start a couple of games. So why wouldn't we? I mean, like, Mariota can't seem to stay healthy. Like, I'm not saying he's a starter, but even in Superflex, is that one of the, I don't want to say premier backups, but a backup to own?
Sure.
Like, we're talking about Mariota maybe not even playing after this year. Like, you mean this is kind of his year to prove it?
Right. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like he's damaged goods. Like, every time he goes down on that side, you know, and you know, that nerve issue is going to be a thing.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's another, you know, I think if you're, again, it's another situation to avoid. I think there's a lot of Titans I'll be avoiding, and some that I like, but the quarterback situation is not one I want to piece up right now.
You don't think Adam Humphries is a savior?
No.
So matter of fact, just no. It's not happening.
Like, that's a perfect answer.
And any more than Cole Beasley is the answer at Buffalo, but
true story.
Speaking of Cole Beasley and his replacement now, so the Cowboys actually ended up signing Randall Cobb for a 1-year, $5 million deal. I'm just going to assume steps right into the slot role, does his thing, kind of get back into a bit of his Green Bay past with Dak there. I mean, do we think maybe wide receiver 3 upside for Randall Cobb in Dallas? We'll start with 2Drink on this one.
Is that what you think? Wide receiver 3 upside?
I think he's a wide receiver four.
Compliment ever.
Yeah.
Gallup or Randall Cobb this year?
I'll take Gallup.
I kind of want to go there too. I don't know that there's enough targets to go around to matter outside of what
Amari Cooper for me.
And Amari.
There you go.
That's a great choice, Bob.
He does cheat.
Right?
Of course I do.
I told you. So yeah, Amari Cooper, Zeke, and now even old man Witten is back. And apparently, I'm not saying I like it, but that still targets in the same part of the field that Randall Cobb's gonna be there. So yeah, I think that's tough. I don't know.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it's going to turn out we'll all be wishing Witten was back in the booth. Right. I mean, look, it wasn't good the last time we saw him on the field, right? So, I mean, my expectation, you know, he's not getting any younger, although he is regrowing his hair somehow. Amazing that, but
shocking.
But yeah, I mean, look, I don't feel real strongly about a lot of Cowboys either, but I think Cobb is a guy, if the price is right, I would probably nibble on. I'd probably rather have Gallup as well. But
is Cobb or Gallup still available in your startup?
I think Gallup is gone. Cobb might have gone now that he moved.
Okay. That's fair.
Double check.
That's all right.
No, he's still available. I may give it a shot at some point. But
that might tell you enough right there, though, Bob.
But again,
he's lasted this long. Yep.
But look, but I mean, that's the thing about fantasy. Everyone has a value.
Yeah, people not liking somebody doesn't mean he's not going to have fantasy points.
100%.
It's all about price. It's just like, you know, we were joking about Eifert or Jordan Reed. I mean, we can throw any of these guys out. I tend to be injury agnostic because I think, you know, I mean, unless it's Todd Gurley and has arthritis in his knee.
Like, you know, everybody over age of 25.
Right. Anybody can get hurt at any time. So, you know, those guys, I think, you know, what I'm looking for, again, old, mean spirited. I'm looking for discounts, right? I'm a senior citizen. I want my discounts. So,
Bob.
Thank you. When I see someone fall to the right spot, I'm not afraid to buy them, even if they've got some pretty checkered past in terms of injuries or they've had some off years or whatever. So Cobb would fall in that category. I think injuries have been a big part of his issue the last couple of years, and he would need to stay healthy. There's no guarantee that'll happen, but there's no guarantee Ezekiel stays healthy either. So there you have it.
So you did bring up Todd Gurley, and obviously we're about to unpack that a little bit. So thoughts
about
So him going forward, I mean, are you just freaking out now with how good CJ Anderson looked in that offense? Is he still a top five redraft pick for you, Todd Gurley?
Boy, it's pretty close there. I'm probably, with a condition like this, I mean, it's not going to go away. I mean, when they're talking about the stem cell treatments and things like that, I mean, they're not going to fix it. They're going to have to manage it. You never know if you're going to get those weeks where he doesn't show up, as we saw late last season. So, and seeing a guy like CJ Anderson roll off the couch, literally, and jump in there and make some hay, it's a good offensive line, it's a good scheme, there's good complementary weapons. I mean, for me, it's a concern. And so if you're in that first round, if you're trying to eliminate downside and risk with that first round pick, then he's probably a guy I'm not going to have many shares of this year. And there are probably a lot of guys I'd rather have.
If we're knocking it down to redraft, I don't see any reason not to have him top three. I mean, shoot, I'll take Larry Fitzgerald pretty darn early. I'll probably take Larry Fitz in third through the fifth in a redraft league.
I think it's a little different.
You don't have to take him in the third, but I hear you.
I think it's a little different for Gurley, though, in terms of, you know, the possibility of, you know, literally missing games, which we saw, and the usage at the end. I want a discount. Of course, I wanted a discount after the last crappy Fisher year for him. And I was pissed that he was still going in the top 10. I'm going, I want him, but I want him to be cheaper.
I'm in the second.
And so, you know, that's me. I always want it cheaper. So
I traded Dalvin and Kerryon, and I got Gurley Ingram.
Ooh.
And Dalvin, I figured they all have knees.
Yep.
That's
Dalvin, we all got knees. Right? So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm not reaching for Gurley right now, though.
He's only 24.
There are probably other guys I'd be fine with. Mm-hmm.
Young guy, man, we wouldn't even be talking about this if they weren't in the Super Bowl.
Didn't have those issues. You're right. 100%.
No, we wouldn't know. He would have issues like everybody else in the league. We just wouldn't have heard about him as much because it went into the postseason. But all these guys have knee issues.
I think that's something, you know, I mean, let's look at, you know, J.J. came into the league with bone on bone. These horrible things. And, you know, you can get serviceable seasons out of them. But I guess, you know, my only contention is when I'm picking early, I'm trying to eliminate downside, and I think there is some with him potentially. So, and there's other guys that I think have less.
Okay. Would you be able to can I ask you a couple names that you around that area? So, Todd Gurley or Christian McCaffrey?
PPR, it's not even a question, right? For me, it would be McCaffrey. If it was standard league, it would be a little more of a discussion.
Okay. PPR league, Kamara or Gurley?
I go ahead and take Kamara right now, especially with Ingram gone.
Okay.
And Latavius's hair grows.
The hate for Latavius for is that. Ridiculous. That Saints
I've
offense,
talked to him. He's a very nice young man. You guys leave him alone.
I like Latavius, man. That offense has been what?
Sorry, first, I just second. Don't. I would rather have Mark Ingram is my point there. I don't hate the situation sure. for Murray, but I like Ingram's a lot better in Baltimore.
And let's talk about that too. I mean, Bob, after we saw what the Chargers did to the Ravens, are you afraid at all that this Lamar Jackson experiment just completely backfires in 2019?
Sure. I mean, look, I'm afraid that he, you know, quarterbacks aren't made to be running backs. He's certainly not. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that said, I mean, I think that, you know, they've got a plan. They're going to roll with it. The Chargers did figure it out to some degree. I don't know if that was as much their personnel or, you know, the scheme obviously has something to do with it. I'm not running out and, you know, I think when they put in Gus Edwards, there was a reason for that. He's still there. He's really well suited to that run pass option thing. I'm not saying Mark Ingram is not. I'm just saying that there's, you know, there's going to be a split there. And why is Kenneth Dixon still there?
Good question.
Because he you makes know, like $600,000 a year.
I mean, you know, but that aside, I mean, the guy's change. Been hurt, suspended. I mean, there's clearly something here this coaching staff sees in him or they would already yes. moved on. I mean, if you're Alex Collins and you got a gun in your glove box, you're out of there.
Right?
Why? Because they've seen everything they want to see out of you. For some reason, Dixon, they have. So, I mean, I guess, you know, the concern for me would be the bodies in the backfield. But yes, in general, I want to see how this offense works, but they do have all the pieces in place. I mean, Greg Roman knows how to run this kind of offense with that kind of personnel. Mm-hmm. You know, the running quarterback. I just, you know, I have
Willie Snead.
Yeah, they have Willie Snead. What more could you have? But I, you know, I just wonder at some point, you know, we need to see Lamar Jackson win some games with his arm, and we haven't really seen that to the degree we need to see that yet. And until we
he can throw,
he can. There's no doubt. But I think back to maybe Denver last year. I mean, there was games where, you know, he didn't have the huge production, but he still won. He still was a quarterback, right? He still, mm-hmm. you know, he did the things that he needed to win the game. I don't think we've yeah. seen that from Jackson yet to the degree we've seen it from maybe other quarterbacks. So I would like to see that. I'm not saying he can't be that guy. I just want to see it.
So let's finish up then with our Superflex trades. But first, let's talk about the Scouting Academy.
Scout NFL football like a pro. Invest in yourself and get a degree in player evaluation and assessment from the Scouting Academy. They've educated NFL GMs, personnel directors, and dozens of NFL scouts. Enroll today and you'll watch the same game tape NFL coaches watch. You'll learn to look past the metrics with position-by-position analysis. This is a time-tested curriculum, a chance to learn from the NFL execs and coaches. Sign up today and get a Dynasty Football Factory exclusive discount for a limited time only. Save $50 when you sign up at DynastyFootballFactory.com.
Promo code Superflex.
There is no promo code, but it's all right. To drink, you keep rocking the promo
code. You should still use it.
Tell about us.
But, yeah, every week I say this, but the Scouting Academy is one of the best things we are associated with. I think it's over 30 people have actually now have NFL jobs coming through this program. So, yeah, as the promo says, you are really learning how to break down game tape. You're learning how to scout players and really dissect the game of football at a professional level. And with that can come an actual job. So if you are serious about trying to get into the NFL in a personnel department, whether it be a scout, talent evaluator, this is probably one of the best ways you can absolutely do it. But let's now go to our ever popular Superflex trade segment. So first one here from at Dynasty Addict.
FF. I gave you some easy ones tonight.
You did. Normally what happens is Two Drink puts the most ridiculous names and Twitter handles and tries to get me to say something ridiculous on air.
Crazy people didn't give good Superflex trades this week, I guess.
Right, so we lucked out, and I actually have some easy ones that I won't flub too bad, hopefully. So first one, 12-team, full-point PPR, 0.2 point per carry Superflex League. Allen Robinson, or the 2019 1.08 and 2.04. We'll start with Bob on this one.
I'll take the picks.
Just out on Robinson in general? You think Anthony Miller is going to be the guy there? Or?
I think Anthony Miller's on the rise, but there's a lot of weapons there. I think there'll be games where Rob shows up, but I don't think he'll be that consistent one that we, you know, kind of expected back when he was in Jacksonville before the injury.
Okay. I will go with two drink on this one.
I also want the picks. I feel like I can do more with them moving forward. Yeah, I'm not all out on A-Raw, but I like this return.
So do you think at draft time you could probably trade the 108 back for A-Rob if you really wanted to?
I think it's close, or you know, I think in a different league you could probably get it for a little less, you know, 110 in a third or you know, that later second, something like that. I don't think I have to give up quite this much, you know, in maybe another league.
Yep. Swags.
I would take give A-Rob. You up to 106 for A-Rob. But I almost don't want to add in the 204 for some reason. But I would probably take A-Rod. But I also agree with 2Drink that come to the draft, like, you could probably get him back, or like you could get a very viable wide receiver that is going to get nice production. But I mean, you don't get to be called A-Rob because you're just Allen Robinson. So, I mean, he's only 25 years old. He's been in this offense for not even a full year, if you really kind of look at it. Like, he was in and out. Fair. He was just getting back off injury. I do like Anthony Miller. I think he's going to be nice in that offense, too, so I get it. But, yeah, give me the known commodity here and the known landing spot. And it's tough, though. I mean, I don't think you can lose with these picks, because if you want out, those picks will only gain value every single day.
There's just a lot of weapons there in Chicago and kind of how they want to use them, including still trying to be a little bit more run heavy, it feels like. So,
yep.
Obviously, like, if you know, you listen to previous episodes for me, I'm not as high on Trubisky as both of you. So I guess it makes it a little easier for me.
I think that's, I'm on the same page there. I want to see, you know, Trubisky had moments. He certainly improved. Will he continue to improve? I'd like to see some of that. But I think part of it is that, and part of it is the number of weapons and the way that Matt Nagy wants to utilize all of them and will at various times.
Cool. Yeah, I'm on the pick side as well.
So 330 votes and 51% on the pick. So it seems like a pretty fair deal right now, you know, depending on your leagues. Like, I think that's kind of where we were, just on which side of the A-Rob, you know, spectrum you're at.
So if we were in a four team league, I would be the one team that won.
Precisely. Exactly, Swags. You won that one.
Minority always wins.
Oh. There you go. Next one from
Matt. I feel like that's how it works.
There's only one winner, bro.
I'm confused right now. Next one.
You next look. One. Yep, next one from Matt Dynasty Biggs. 10-team Superflex full PPR league. Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo, Evan Ingram, and the 1.05.
Man, we blew up about Baker last week after we did day news. Like, is this enough now?
Yep. So we'll start with Swags on this one.
Teams?
Yeah, in 10 team, I'd absolutely take the best player. I want the Baker. And man, you're getting so many pieces I like with Evan Ingram. I think I like Evan Ingram better than even the Giants fan on the show.
Nice too.
Yep, you get a 105, you can go get Allen Robinson with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so. So, man, that's a tough one. The more you look at it.
How far does your Baker love go?
I'm going to take Baker. It's just fun. Freaking dangerous. Let's be dangerous. It's all about the risk on Baker.
Jimmy's still a little unknown. Is that kind of the hesitation there? Like, we love the offense.
Jimmy G's like, what, 27, 28? Baker's just a young second-year quarterback.
They're playing the age card, too, and the crazy system that's now should be there.
I mean, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
And Jimmy G's got Pettis. Jimmy G's got Pettis.
Kittle.
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
Best tight end in the game.
He's pretty cool. he's in a good situation. I don't know if he's the best tight end in the game. And maybe some of his weapons go
second.
Away. But.
I feel like I said second.
So it's hard for me to let go of a great thing when I have it, especially like in a super flex league when I have that young quarterback, I'm reluctant to let go of him. In this case, so I'm not great at math, but three things is better than one thing. I'm going with the three things. So I'm going to go ahead and take that deal.
That's why we won the last trade too, Bob. But Swags doesn't get math.
Right. But look, I mean, you know, Jimmy G, I mean, it's a narrow band, but he tends to pass the eyeball test. I like the offense. I like his coach. I like the history of high-end offensive production with Kyle Shanahan calling plays. Ingram in the 105 on top of it. And look, I mean, I'm all in on Baker Mayfield. But I could argue the other side of that coin, too.
Seems like it.
right? I mean, he makes, you know, he makes, doesn't always make the best decisions. He's a little aggressive. All these things, you know, come to play. But it, I like the three things better than one.
Okay.
Steve.
I will take the Jimmy G side also. I agree with Bob here that it's Jimmy G, while he's not Baker Mayfield, I still think in terms of dynasty, he's a top 12 dynasty quarterback in my rankings. Ingram's a damn good player and should be good for the next few years. And 1.05 is a nice pick to get. So I will take that side as well.
My team is stacked so far.
Swag.
A. Robin Baker.
Swags, if it's 12 team, like a 10 team, I'm with you. I'm going to take
I'm
Baker.
I'm taking the Baker. I'm on the Baker side. I'm on the Baker side.
On 14 team.
Baker.
Whoa.
I think that's cheap.
It's cheap. I've seen him go for more. I can get more for him if I want to get out. Like, that's cheap.
I'm right now on hype, and I'm with you. I'm going to take Baker anyway, so we split this one, and we don't help Dynasty Bigs at all, except for if you listen to me and Swags, which is the right side. We won.
I mean, I'm just saying it's cheap, you know, and no, it's hard to argue against all those pieces, but I mean, I've seen some of the Baker trades, and you're just like, ooh, I wouldn't have paid that. You know, like, so... Yeah,
so at 305 votes, 57%, the three pieces. You guys are wrong. 57% and Steve and Bob. But it's cool.
This next one's super interesting, though.
Next one's really fun. Yeah, this is a good one. So from @Broca24, doesn't give a league size, but it's a PPR Superflex league. So Juju Smith-Schuster or Brandon Cooks, Marlon Mack, and Cortland Sutton.
Almost 700 votes on this one, so we had lots of movement. It's a good poll for sure.
We'll start with Bob on this one.
Juju's in a fine position, but I'd probably do it for Cooks and Sutton alone.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that. Swags.
Yep, I'd take the Cooks side of this.
To drink.
Hashtag Team Juju. Come on, let's go.
Man.
Let's go fire. It's a lot of pieces. I get it. I'm not a huge Cooks guy. I don't really like Mac. And Sutton is the second to Hamilton in that offense.
Oof.
Yep. So
I'll take
F and pass. Team Juju, let's go.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see if Juju's still Juju without Antonio Brown to us.
I know. What could he do with more targets?
Or what could he do with more coverage? I don't know.
Fair. That's always the big question, too, right? Like, when someone's in a new role.
It's not like he had bad games without Antonio Brown. I get the sample isn't large, but.
You're right.
He produced a little bit more than his, you know, kind of his average there. I get more coverage will be shaded to him 100%, but he already had, 160 plus targets? Like,
yeah.
That number's not going down, even though the Steelers are going to throw less. You know what I mean? Like, give it to me. It's a lot of pieces. You know, if this is, again, if this is a much larger league, and I feel like my team is going to start a lot of these, like, Juju's my only piece. And I need three starters, and I get it, but come on, let's go, Team Juju.
Cooks is good for 1,200 yards.
Real good.
Yeah.
He'll give you 1,206 every year, Brandon Cooks.
I am not saying that the collective will get you probably many more fantasy points than Juju alone, but it's not Juju alone. It's Juju plus whatever my other
two. Right, the replacement, sure.
And I just want that.
And this one has no league size, so they can add teams anytime.
Couldn't it be a 32 team league?
Currently, we're moving to 50. Yeah.
Yep. I'll take
still Juju.
Yeah,
I'll take the Cook side.
New guy.
Yeah,
53% needs the three pieces.
Okay. Another close one, though.
I picked a lot that were pretty close to figuring maybe. We would break the tie. I felt like we have not done that at all tonight. But
not at all.
It's good discussion, so it's cool. And Bob's hanging out.
That's right. So next one from @DynastyTroy. 12-team Superflex League. 5 points per all touchdowns. Is this all touchdowns or just passing touchdowns?
5 points touchdown.
Just touchdowns. All right, 5 points for touchdowns.
That's an average.
Yeah. Russell Wilson, the 1.02, and Kenneth Dixon. Or Philip Rivers, Amari Cooper, and the 1.09. This is a good one. Somehow still involved in trades. We'll start with Swags on this one.
I'm taking the Russell Wilson side in Superflex.
Dixon means minus to me, by the way.
The quarterback. I want the quarterback. That's where my eyes go on this one. Amari Cooper's nice, but at 102, I mean, if I can get Allen Robinson for a 108, I can do really good at 102 right now. So if I get Russell Wilson and somebody as cool as Amari just Cooper, because I think that Allen Robinson is as cool as Amari Cooper, then, man, why
Stop
not?
It.
Why not?
Do you really? You have Robinson and Cooper really close?
I would draft Cooper before Allen Robinson, but I absolutely... Yeah, why not?
They don't fit
us. Because we threw Cooper into that offense for the last half of the season, and he was finally good again. Like, we're going to say that Allen Robinson can't be good again, too? And yeah, I would, and that's just what you guys said I could get at the 106 or 108. Now I've got the 102.
In that league. This is a different league.
No, but you guys said that I could get Allen Robinson for like the 106 to 108 with a 204 in there. You guys said. Yep. So now I've got the 102, so I should able to do better than Allen Robinson. And I've got a better quarterback. And this trade's silly if you take the Phillip Rivers and Amari Cooper side with what we've said on this show in the past today.
So this might depend
on. Be silly,
on, Bob. Depend on what kind of team I have right now. Like if I think I can
sure,
win
sure,
this
sure.
year, I might want the Rivers Cooper side. Look, if I'm looking longer term, the Russell Wilson, obviously. But I mean, last year, it turns out the Seahawks might go run heavy. You never know because they did last year. Right? And so had Russell Wilson not been so crazily efficient, had Tyler Lockett not had an unprecedented season where he, you know, had a perfect passer rating all year long.
Let's not act like last year was Russell Wilson's breakout year.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if we're saying he's got to be that efficient, you know, in this offense with, you know, Brian Schottenheimer calling the offense, the run heaviest play caller known to man, right? So,
sure.
Look, if it was a longer term thing, if I was looking at a rebuild, it would be easier decision for me to say Russell Wilson. If I think I have a chance to win this year, I might go the other way. Probably would.
And then it's crazy too, because I mean, I didn't even think about the 109 that we might still be able to get Allen Robinson with.
There you go.
Make it Rivers, Amari Cooper, and Allen Robinson.
That's right. Like, I'll take that side then. I'll take that side then for sure.
It's way better.
Especially with that Kenneth Dixon piece in there for some reason. Gosh, I don't know why he's even there. Tudrin, did you give your answer on this one yet?
If we're going to play by Swags' rules and I can get A-Rob for the 109, I'm definitely taking Priv and Amari Cooper.
Yep.
Amari Cooper Swags, like you say, is close to Allen Robinson. I don't think you can't get Amari Cooper for 102. Like, I don't feel like you can.
I don't think so.
That's so, value. I'm talking production and like my team.
I don't
team,
think
A-Rob
finishes within like
I'm
six
building.
Spots of Amari Cooper in this year. If you're talking about
what six spots though, 4 to 5 points. Let's say let's talk.
You want to do a point?
30 points.
30 points. Yeah, done. Easy. Like right, Cooper gets up. That. Cooper gets that in a game. Like, yeah. A-Rob's going to go games where he gets zero. Enjoy your bagels.
30 points.
Done.
All right. Cooper versus A-Rob plus 30. Done.
Sharpie on your computer, Steve. Thanks.
I was on my forehead last time, right? That's what it was?
No, it
Well, you ran out of space. It's your computer now.
It did. Oh, my gosh.
Bob's like, what the hell is going on?
I know exactly what's going on here.
Thoroughly confused. So what's the results of the poll right now?
This poll is still ongoing, so I'd say go get out there and vote, but it's not enough time left for you to hear this and then go do it. 53% right now on the Phillip Rivers, Amari Cooper / Allen Robinson side, 109.
Okay.
It's a close deal. I get it. Russell Wilson is by far the most valuable piece in this deal to be super flex wise. But I like Bob of like, if I'm going to win now, I'm taking the Priv Amari Cooper 109 side.
Last one from at the FF _ Mike C. 12 team PPR Superflex League, 1.75 points per reception for tight ends, even though there are no tight ends in this trade.
Morgan, 204, bro. 204. Right. Yeah, 204. Is Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson, one of those.
There you go. That could be.
I get this on the radio a lot. It's PPR League. Which quarterback should I start?
Right. Jesus. Mark Ingram or Anthony Miller in the 2 out of 4.
Well, we've been talking a lot about A-Rob, so I figured I had to
like
get Anthony Miller one because I feel like we would go that route.
You knew we were going to talk about Allen Robinson.
I need the 108 too, Bob.
Yeah. This might be another case where it's
do it
where some of it is dependent on how I feel my team is. You know, if I'm ready to make a push. Mm-hmm. If I'm ready to make a push this year, I'm going to stick with Ingram and get, you know, some what I hope to be frontline production at running back and take my chances wide out. If I'm, you know, looking longer term, it's not even difficult. It's Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
And a pick.
Mm-hmm. Swags.
Yeah, I'm taking Mark Ingram in any situation here.
Steve. All right.
Anthony Miller in the pick, any situation.
I like it. I mean, I like that you added not any situation.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, Tudrin.
I'm not going to sell Mark Ingram on my team. Like, bye. Like, I'm going to hold. I feel like if I have any shot whatsoever at making a run this year, Ingram's going to help me more than Anthony Miller in that 204.
And that's the thing, you know, and it seems like you're, you know, I feel like I'm cheesing out on these, but it, that does make a difference. I mean, we're, you know, especially in Dynasty for me, that's always the, you know, the big question is what am I, am I pushing this
Bob,
year? Right.
If you suck, can you, will you trade Ingram for Miller in 204?
You know, I'd probably try to get a little more, you know, see if I can move it up. But I mean, you know, it's not like Ingram is a spring chicken. I grant that, you know, the career long sharing works in his favor, but you know what? I mean, I don't know that he's Frank Gore. I don't know that he's still going to be, you know, chugging along for, you know, the
29 how much great longer situation, he has, right? 4-year contract, probably play at least two of it.
Maybe.
Sure.
Steve,
at least one.
Steve, yeah. a couple weeks in, Mark Ingram plays well. Maybe A-Rob shows up before Anthony Miller. Can you get more than Miller in the 204?
Oh, I think so, yeah. If Ingram shows he is the clear starter, you know, the 20 carry per game guy.
That's kind of where I go to. We're still in March here. It's only June.
Exactly. It's only June. yeah, if Ingram's proven to be the 20 carry per game guy, then yeah, I think he's definitely worth more than the Miller in the 204. But I think this is going to be a split.
You're not
in
willing
Baltimore.
To risk that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a split in Baltimore. Definitely not with Kent with Dixon. I think they saw in Gus Edwards.
Or what are you counting?
Yeah, I think they saw in Gus Edwards to be a straight ahead downhill runner. I think he worked well with Lamar Jackson last year as well, to Bob's point earlier. So I think it's going to be more of a split, even though Ingram got some big money for a running back.
Right, I mean, we've seen Ingram be productive in timeshares before. So I mean, you kind of have that. But again, I think, you know, if you have a guy that's you feel pretty comfortable with as a running back one or two. I'm pretty reluctant to, and I'm thinking more along a two for Ingram, but I'm pretty reluctant to give that up if I think I can win now.
Best thing since chicken and Ray Rice.
Chicken and Ray Rice. But bumps. Anthony Miller and the 204, 57%. It's still got some time out there, so.
My thing again, is, like, it's way easier it for me to buy an underachieving rookie wide receiver that is going to develop than it is a workhorse running back. I can go find wide receivers somebody doesn't believe in all day.
Yep.
It's a good point. No, for sure. It's a good point. Yep. Yeah. I mean, the wide receiver rankings from, I feel like, what, 20 to 50 are very close. Like, there's not much difference there. It's just really personal preference. So it's a good point, Swags, for sure.
And that's just kind of me. But I'm also a running back guy. And the Aegis, I took the old guy. I feel like I won.
Yeah. I'm shocked you took the old guy. That's like the first time you ever taking an old guy here.
Sorry,
that's why we should just stop. Like, this is over.
That's the second time you just need to start the show. So,
poor Bob.
So, Bob, yeah, one more time, definitely before we head out, tell everyone where they can find you.
They can find me at footballdiehard.com. They can find me on Twitter at footballdiehard, and they can find me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio on the Football Diehard Show. Go figure.
Swags.
Can't believe you called Bob old, Swags.
Did I call you old?
You're horrible. I'm crushed.
Twice. See? That's why we ended it.
I'm at @VFF_swag. The hell out of here.
Two drink.
@FL2DrinkMinimum, @SuperflexPod.
I'm @TheRealHalupka and @SuperflexTrades, and we are out.
Yo, I'm getting this in. I saw this. @WackyPappy, that's a dope name. is it cool to publicly announce all trade offers to create a bidding war amongst your league? Like, say you have a group chat. What do you guys think about that? You said yes. Does it matter the league you're in? Like, in your league, then DFBS is through it. There's so many guys there. We're doing lift drop. Cool.
I did it wrong. I'll put it right over you.
That's good.
Because I love you.
Swags, what do you think about that? You don't like that?
I don't hate it. Like, I know that, like, if I'm in a trade talk with you...
Does it depend on the player?
I think that if you are trading Todd Gurley, he should hit the trading block because you can then have the best potential to get value back. If I'm in a trade with you, I am the guy that, like, if you are... I'm going to offer you this. I'm like, oh, that's a good offer, but I literally just got this. And then you're like, oh, I can't beat that. So I will do it behind closed doors. I think that the league chat is a place for, like, certain conversation pieces.
I'm a little bit more private.
If you put me on blast in the league chat, you're in my blacklist and we're not trading again.
100% agree. 100% agree.
I'm reading a group chat talking about trades right now.
See what they say.
I mean, and you can have some kind of talk, you know?
I think,
like,
it depends, though.
Sometimes, like, I'm even kind of like...
Saquon, like, there's a couple guys up top where if somebody comes to me with an offer, I'm going to be like, hold up. If I really feel like I'm going to move this player, I'm not going to just come from your team.
Right. I think if I'm interested in moving, I throw it out in the group chat, and then I want to talk to people individually and let everyone think I'm talking to everyone and let them all fear whatever's going to happen or not happen and play against each other. I don't want to have the conversation in the group chat.
Absolutely. I don't want to find out I got my ass Shanahan-ed to me.
You know what? Other one, like, I love it when somebody's like, well, I've got this other deal I'm going to do if you don't want to do this. And half the time, if you're like, okay, go do it, and then you never see a deal get done, and you're just like, oh,
yeah,
idiot.
Yep.